Welcome to the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's the final Bullpen Report of this 2025 season. I'm Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto, and it's the last day of Major League games, regular season games. Last day of the NFBC Championships, full season Roto Leagues. Who knows, maybe there's even head-to-head leagues somewhere that run through the final games of the year. But we made it. We're at the end. Some of us thrived on the way to championships. Some just survived. We competed as best as we could. Others maybe have been checked out since NFL training camps opened. But if you're listening today, thanks sincerely to you and to everyone who tuned in this season for my takes on MLB bullpens and relief pitching. I just hope I was able to help somehow along the way. So there's no free agent pickups left, no fab weekends left. There's nothing left to do, but take a look back at how we got here. So for today's final show, I'm going to review the preseason ADP of closers from all March 2025 drafts in the NFBC's 12-team online championship leagues. And for regular listeners, you know that the NFBC OCs are my reference for a typically competitive league, regardless of platform. So I feel the March ADP from that format should be broadly reflective of how saves and closers were drafted in general. Of course, head-to-heads, points leagues, different valuations of relievers and saves, you know, that may have looked very different. But coming in as the first closer off the board in March OC drafts, we have the Cleveland Guardians' Emmanuel Clase. ADP was around 42, making him a mid-fourth round pick on average. This pick made sense, considering Clase was following up an historic season with a 0.6 ERA, 0.65 whip, 47 saves in 2024. If you were going to take an early closer, or the first closer off the board, it was hard to find fault in Clase. The result was not ideal, however. Clase was infamously placed on the MLB restricted list in late July amidst a gambling probe that had already swept up teammate Luis Ortiz. Clase never made it back in 2025, and his future in MLB is shockingly unknown at this time. Now, for fantasy purposes, Clase wasn't a complete disaster. He contributed 24 saves through 4 months of action, putting him around a 36 save pace. So that was good. And this was despite an injury demotion scare mixed in. He delivered a solid 3.23 ERA as well, so it could have been worse. But as the first closer off the board, it was bad enough. He gets a D. And when I say it could have been worse, the second reliever off the board last March was the Yankees' Devin Williams. Williams moved to the Bronx after an offseason trade following an injury-plagued 2024 that saw him throw only 21 and two-thirds innings. But those innings were his usual dominant innings, posting an incredible 43.2% K rate, 1.25 ERA. The upside in New York had Williams drafted around pick 45 near the back end of the fourth round. And Devin Williams didn't even come close to paying off that draft cost. He put up an ERA of about 9 through the end of April, an absolutely abysmal K-minus walk rate of 4%, and all of that without even allowing a home run. Williams was so bad that he'd already lost the closer job by the end of April. He didn't get that job back from Luke Weaver until June, so many owners pulled the plug and dropped Williams probably sometime in May, which makes him our first true disaster pick. For those that held Devin Williams, there was a reward. He had a really dominant month of June, added 6 saves, 0.93 ERA, 0.52 whip, added 6 more saves in July. But the struggles returned. He had a 5.73 ERA in that month. And after the Yankees acquired Camilo Doval and David Bednar at the trade deadline, Devin Williams was again out of the closer role, Bednar took over for the rest of the season. So all told, Devin Williams finished with only 18 saves. But since circumstances dictated that most Williams drafters didn't get all 18 of those saves, it's really hard to give him anything higher than an F. Now, our third reliever off the board by ADP was the Astros' Josh Hader at pick 48, placing him at the 4-5 turn. Hader was well on his way to delivering RP1 numbers and earning his draft cost in spades before a shoulder injury cut his season short in mid-August. Before the injury, Hader gave drafters a 2.05 ERA, 0.85 whip, 76 strikeouts, 28 saves. It's really only due to the lower save total that Hader can't get an A grade, but he was so good in the 4.5 months he was healthy that I'll give Hader a B. Our next reliever, number 4 by ADP, was the A's Mason Miller at pick 49, right next to Hader on the 4-5 turn. Now, if you look only at the end-of-year numbers, Miller's 2025 season isn't far off from his dominant 2024. We're looking at a 2.49 ERA, 0.88 whip last year, 2.63 and 0.91 this year, 104 strikeouts last year, 104 this year, and 28 saves last year, but 22 this year. And therein lies the problem. Miller was traded from the A's to the Padres and was not able to finish out the season as a full-time closer. Most who drafted Miller ended up dropping him at some point after the deadline when it was apparent he was not going to wrestle away the Padres' closer job from Robert Suarez. So at the time of the trade, Miller had a 3.76 ERA, a 102 whip, 20 saves, and 59 strikeouts. Those were good numbers, but not great, as we might have thought from him. So even though Mason Miller will finish the season with fantastic stats overall after a really incredible run with the Padres, what he contributed to most fantasy teams while he was a closer was not worth the draft cost. So Miller gets a C. Now we round out the top 5 in ADP with the Mets' Edwin Diaz at pick 53, placing him in the 5th round. We finally have our first closer who made it through the season healthy and effective and with his job. Now, Diaz has continued his trend of posting an ERA under 2 in even years, something he's done since 2018. So all told, pending an appearance today, Edwin Diaz will finish with an ERA of 1.65, a 0.89 whip, 97 strikeouts, 6 wins, and 28 saves. So another dominant ratio and strikeout season for Diaz. But it's the 28 saves that holds him back from our first A grade. Failing to reach the 30 mark, despite the success he had and pitching for a competitive Mets team, that's going to keep Diaz at a B grade along with Josh Hader. Now coming in at number 6 by ADP in 2025, we have the Braves' Raisel Iglesias. He was picked 59 on average, so the back end of round 5. And if we look at Iglesias' season just as a whole, we get solid ratios, 3.26 ERA, 101 whip, 72 strikeouts is good, 28 saves. What complicated things for Iglesias was his inconsistency throughout the season. He opened with an ERA over 6 in both April and May while recording 8 total saves. Then he got only one save in June, even though he improved the ratios with 3.86 ERA. But the Braves as a team had a gap of no saves from May 13th to June 23rd. And since Raisel Iglesias got one save in almost 2 months between May and July, many people dropped him and didn't even end up getting his full value. So after surprisingly surviving the trade deadline with the Braves, Iglesias blew up in August. He had 10 saves. He's added 5 more in September. Since much of that production was for a team that might not have drafted him, I can't give Iglesias fantasy season any better than a C. The number 7 by ADP was the Cardinals' Ryan Helsley. the MLB leader in 2024 with 49 saves. Enough drafters had faith in a strong follow-up season that Helsley was taken at the back end of round 5, about pick 60 on average. And that pick did not pay off. Helsley couldn't repeat the success of last year, and at the time he was traded from the Cardinals to the Mets, Helsley had a 3 ERA, but the whip was 1.39. He only had 41 strikeouts, 21 saves, and then things really unraveled with New York, though thankfully most had already dropped Helsley once he was out of the closer job. So the solid ERA, the 21 saves, weren't a complete disaster, but they are only enough to earn a D grade instead of an F. Now coming in at number 8 is Andrés Muñoz from the Seattle Mariners. He was drafted around pick 69 towards the back end of round 6. Now coming into 2025, there were some legitimate concerns for Muñoz, but they were related mostly to durability, certainly not talent. And everything really came together for him in 2025. Drafters were well rewarded with one of the finest relief seasons of the year. 1.73 ERA, 1.03 whip, 38 saves, and 83 strikeouts. Now, it took 8 tries, but Andrés Muñoz is our first A grade. And if I was giving out pluses and minuses, I'm not, but he'd be an A plus. What a great season from him. Number 9 by ADP, we have Felix Bautista from Baltimore. Bautista's position at pick 79. Was a mid-7th rounder, and he was a play on upside. The Orioles were expected to be a playoff contender, and what we had seen from Bautista in 2022, and he was even better in 2023 prior to his injury that required Tommy John, we saw the kind of high strikeout dominance that few relievers are capable of. So while he didn't immediately return to those heights, Bautista's performance in 2025, I mean, it was fantastic in context. He pitched to a 2.6 ERA, 1.13 whip, struck out 50 in 34 and two-thirds innings, saved 19 games and 20 chances. He was also really hitting a stride in June and July. But then he got hurt again, shoulder injury, cut short his season. He had surgery, probably going to be sidelined for a lot of 2026 as well. What we got were pretty good ratios, but that low save total and the injury leave Bautista with a grade of C. Now, rounding out the ADP top 10 of closers is the Giants' Ryan Walker. Walker was taken at pick 81 in the 7th round near Felix Bautista. So drafters looked at Walker's 2024 season and just salivated over the thought of him becoming the full-time closer in San Francisco. And yeah, if you look at 2024 in a vacuum, there was reason for excitement. Walker had 10 wins, 10 saves, 99 strikeouts, ERA under 2, whip under 1. It was an amazing season. But 2024 was only his second season in the major leagues, and he pitched that year at 28 years old. Now, of course, guys can be late bloomers. They can figure it out at an older age. But Walker had very little track record to go on for a top 10 closer pick. And that showed in 2025. He actually started the season wonderfully. As of April 19th, Walker had a 1.13 ERA. He was 5-for-5 on saves. But then things quickly went south. He allowed 6 total runs over his next 2 games. It was revealed he was working through back soreness, which probably impacted him a lot more than the team ever let on. He continued to struggle for a few more weeks, and then he lost the closer job to Camilo Doval by early May. Walker ended up saving 5 games in May as he and Doval went back and forth a little bit. But then Walker ceded the job entirely. He didn't record a single save in June or July. He was off most rosters by mid-season, if not earlier. So that's kind of a disaster of a top 10 closer pick. Walker, unfortunately, gets an F. Now, a quick review through the top 10 closers by ADP reveals only one A grade to Andrés Muñoz, Only two B grades, Josh Hader and Edwin Diaz. And that's a low hit rate for high picks. 40% of the top 10 relievers drafted got a grade of D or F. That's bad. And these results are fairly normal year to year. Relief pitching is inherently volatile, season by season. Outside of a small handful of the truly elite relievers, and even those guys are subject to injury risk like Josh Hader was, still a small level of performance risk, Devin Williams, for example. This makes early relievers a risky investment. But let's move on now through the next group of 10 closers by March, NFBC, OC, average draft position. And at number 11, we've got Joan Duran from the Twins. So Duran was drafted around pick 83, only a few picks difference from Ryan Walker, back of the seventh round in a 12-teamer. Duran paid off nicely, though. Rocco Baldelli finally committed to him as the true ninth-inning closer for the first time, and Duran remained the dedicated closer after his trade to the Phillies. So drafters got a 2.06 ERA, 1.10 whip, 80 strikeouts, 7 wins, 32 saves. It's an excellent closer season, and that's good for our second grade of A. Now, the 12th reliever drafted by ADP was less of a success story. That was Tanner Scott of the Dodgers. Scott was the first reliever drafted outside the top 100 picks on average at about 101. The $72 million contract Scott got from the Dodgers convinced many that he would be used as their primary closer, and that did hold true early on. As late as May 17th, Scott had his ERA under 2. His whip even stayed under 1 almost through the end of May. But then things really fell apart for him for a few weeks. He did pitch well again in June, but the second half of the season was just an unmitigated disaster. Scott has continued to earn saves throughout the year, but the ratios ballooned, the strikeouts fell, and 23 is simply not enough saves to make up for it for a guy who was almost a top 100 selection in drafts. Tanner Scott, I kind of waffled a little bit on this, but just because of the expectations, he gets a D. At number 13, we have Jeff Hoffman from the Blue Jays. Hoffman got a lot of attention in the offseason after it was revealed both the Braves and Orioles had backed out of contracts over concerns about his health. Toronto stepped in with a three-year deal to be their closer after two fantastic seasons in relief in Philadelphia. So this led to Hoffman being drafted around pick 105 in March OC drafts. His cost did rise closer to the start of the season. So you could say Hoffman had a good bad season or a bad good season. Either would work. The ratios were not ideal. A 4.37 ERA, 1.19 whip. He had trouble with the home run ball all year long. But if you were drafting a guy as the 13th closer off the board and you knew you'd get 9 wins, 33 saves, and 84 strikeouts, you'd be happy with that, wouldn't you? He kept the job all year, so there was never really a reason, a time when a Hoffman drafter might have dropped him outright. So most who drafted Hoffman got all of those stats, and that's a B grade, I think. Now, next up at number 14, we have Robert Suarez from San Diego. Pick 118 on average and an easy A. 2.97 ERA, 0.9 whip, 75 strikeouts, but most importantly, 40 saves. Awesome season and our third grade of A. Now number 15, Trevor McGill from the Brewers. Pick 134 on average, but another guy whose draft cost rose closer to opening day. Now I recall hearing a podcast in the preseason and listening to an NFBC Hall of Famer single out Trevor Megill as a terrible pick, wasted pick. In the end, though, I mean, I took him a number of times, and we should be quite happy with 30 saves, good ratios, 5 wins. The downside of Megill was his health history, so preseason doubts weren't entirely without merit, and that did indeed come to fruition. Megill missed the final month with an elbow injury, so he can't get an A. But Megill put up a really solid B season, and he paid off that draft cost despite missing a month. At 16 on our list is Pete Fairbanks of the Rays, around pick 154. Fairbanks was in a similar position to Megill. Very good when on the mound, but not always reliably able to take the mound. Like Megill, Fairbanks paid off his draft cost by staying healthy all season. 2.83 ERA, 1.04 whip, 27 saves. Only 59 strikeouts, the lower Ks, and the saves total under 30 is what keeps him from being an A. But Fairbanks proved a worthy selection, and he earns a B. Now, 3 picks away from Fairbanks at 157 overall, and at number 17 on our list is Kenley Jansen of the Angels. At age 37, Jansen just kept chugging along. He'll finish 2025 with an ERA under 3 and a whip under 1. He's got 29 saves, my outside chance of getting 30 today. He doesn't strike out a lot of batters anymore. But Jansen ended up a really good mid-round pick. That's another B. So after a run of 3 Bs, we now come to pick 162 by ADP, closer number 18 off the board. It's Jordan Romano of the Phillies. This pick never sat well with me. We knew the Phillies were a closer committee team, and Romano was returning from an injury-plagued 2024 with doubts about how effective he could even be. And the answer was not effective. An 8.23 ERA. That's just horrendous. He saved only 8 games. He finishes the season again injured. Romano was a disaster. Another F grade for the year. The closer 19 off the board was David Bednar of Pittsburgh, pick 172 typically. This one was a bet on Bednar's previous success, his track record after a poor showing in 2024, and it paid off nicely. Eventually, Bednar was demoted not just from the closer role, but all the way down to AAA after he allowed runs in his first 3 games, all in March. He returned about 3 weeks later, still wasn't Pittsburgh's true closer again until later in May, but as we stand right now, Bednar has a 2.34 ERA, a 1.04 whip, 84 strikeouts, 6 wins, 26 saves. Overall, he had an excellent season, and I'll give him a B, only because less than 30 saves, and some people did have to drop him during that uncertain period where he was in AAA, and then even after he came back, he just wasn't really the confirmed closer. Now we'll round out the top 20 with Ryan Pressly of the Cubs, taking around 186 on average. This was another bet on track record after the veteran signed with the Cubs, and Pressly actually got through a scoreless month of April before that game happened in early May. I'm talking about the 8 earned runs and no outs game of May 6th. Literally one of the worst pitching appearances in baseball's history. So Pressly was out of the closer job after that. He saved just one more game all season. The Cubs cut him in late July. Nobody picked him up. It was a disaster pick. It's another F. So we reviewed our top 10. Let's look now at the closers number 11 through 20 from draft season. This was a far better group to draft from. We had 2 A's and 5 B's handed out, a much better hit rate, 70%. So this is a healthy reminder that good values can be had in drafts by waiting on saves. It's still risky, but no more so than the early closers are. Now we'll finish the ADP review with numbers 21 to 30. And the first two in this list couldn't have ended up further apart in value. Number 21 is Justin Martinez of the Diamondbacks, pick 189 on average. And this was a gamble at the time, but it was a gamble on upside. Even while healthy early, Martinez was sharing closing duties with AJ Puck. He then missed most of May, returned, struggled for a few more weeks before he went down with the elbow injury, had Tommy John surgery. Martinez ended up with 5 saves, and from a top 200 pick, that earns an F, unfortunately. Not his fault because of the injuries, but 5 saves just isn't good enough. But at number 22 is Carlos Estevez from the Royals. Signed in the offseason to a 2-year deal, there were doubts that Estevez would be the Royals closer due to the presence of Lucas Erceg. But teams like the Royals don't sign experienced closers to $20 million deals without giving the guy saves. So Estevez was a solid value pick who turned into an incredible value pick. 2.5 ERA, 106 whip, so you got great ratios. The strikeouts were low with only 54, but when you draft a closer, you're looking for saves. And you got the major league leader around pick 190. 42 saves from Carlos Estevez earns an easy A grade. Now at number 23, it's the world's okayest closer, Kyle Finnegan. The Nationals re-signed Finnegan to close for one more year. So at pick 198, we said, okay. And it worked because, of course, as usual, Finnegan was as mediocre as a reliever could be, but he still somehow managed to earn 20 saves in his time with the Nationals. He was then traded to the Tigers. He earned 4 more saves. It's fitting that the world's okayest closer gets a middle C for his efforts. Now, 24th on our ADP list, pick 210 in March drafts, we have Alexis Diaz from the Reds. Diaz succeeded in spite of himself for a few seasons. But that walk rate was always troublesome, and there was a reason a presumed full-time closer lasted beyond the top 200 picks. Diaz's implosion began in spring training as he just lost the plate completely. He finishes 2025 with 0 saves and an F grade. At number 25, we have the aforementioned Lucas Erceg. Erceg continued to be drafted as maybe not a closer, but one of the high-end backups around pick 212 by those who maybe didn't believe that Carlos Estevez would get the Royals job or wanted a strong handcuff. Either way, Erceg didn't pay off the cost. You know, he ended up with 8 wins in relief, but I mean, he was mostly dropped early when it was clear he wasn't the closer. So good real life pitcher, but an F for fantasy value in 2025. Number 26 on the list was AJ Puck from the Diamondbacks, about pick 233. He was another speculative pick on who would rise to the top in Arizona between Puck and Justin Martinez. And they ended up sharing the closer role while both were healthy and pitching, even though neither stayed healthy very long. Puck threw only 8 innings. He was done by April 17th with 4 saves. What could have been wasn't, so Puck gets an unfortunate F. Now coming in at 27th by March ADP, we have Aroldis Chapman of the Red Sox. Pick 239 on average. It's hard to believe it now, but this was still kind of a risky pick at the time. Many still believed that Liam Hendricks would be the Red Sox closer to start the season, and some even preferred Justin Slayton. My gut had told me that Chapman had the best chance to secure the role, so he was one of my best preseason calls, and it's hard to do much better than Chapman's 1.17 ERA of 0.7 whip. You got all the strikeouts, 85, over 30 saves, 32 saves. So an easy A for Aroldis Chapman. Now, number 28, we've got Kirby Yates of the Dodgers, around pick 251. Despite the $72 million that the Dodgers threw at Tanner Scott, there were those still taking Kirby Yates as the potential closer in LA, or at least with a share of the job, citing Scott's being left-handed and Yates' fantastic run as the Texas closer in 2024. So, yeah, perhaps there was a path where Yates as closer could have happened, but it didn't. Yates has struggled with effectiveness this year and with health. He only ended up with three saves. So the pick was, it was an F. Now, number 29, we have Chris Martin from the Texas Rangers, pick 268. Now, we didn't know what was happening in Texas bullpen all offseason. We kept waiting for news that they'd signed a legitimate closer or at least brought back David Robertson. But when nothing happened, it started making sense to take a shot on the veteran Martin with a late pick, hoping to hit on a guy who could at least start the season as the team's closer. And despite pitching very well early on, spring training and early in the season, Martin was bypassed for saves by Luke Jackson. LOL. Well, Martin worked through injuries at several times throughout the year. He never did get any regular saves, so the pick didn't pay off. And unfortunately, it is an F. Now we close out the top 30 relievers by ADP with Jason Foley of the Tigers. The way the Tigers handled Foley before the season was confusing. He finished 2024 as their closer, saved 28 games for the team last year. In the offseason, the Tigers signed Tommy Canley, John Brebbia, Will Vest was there, Tyler Holton was there, Bo Brisky was there. But nobody was an elite ninth inning option. Nobody should have really prevented Foley from at least getting a chance to continue in that ninth inning role. But Foley had a few poor outings in spring training. Even though he had a 10-0 strikeout to walk ratio, the Tigers sent him down to AAA before the season even started. And he dominated in AAA for a short while. But then he hurt his shoulder, had the surgery, was out for the year. So it's an F. Nothing you can do. Now, looking at the group of closers drafted 21-30 in draft season, it was really an all or nothing part of the draft. Two huge wins in Carlos Estevez and Aroldis Chapman. One solid C with Kyle Finnegan, but the rest of that group were Fs. Now, there were other relievers who were drafted. Some of the names that followed were Calvin Fauché, Porter Hodge, Liam Hendricks, etc. But at that point, we'd reached handcuff territory where most of the picks weren't expected to be closers or they were just purely speculative. So heading into 2026, when draft season begins, we don't want to overreact to any of this information from the pod today. 2025 just wasn't a great year for the top tiers of closers, but we shouldn't immediately say, I'm not drafting any of those guys next year. The best values do frequently come from the middle tiers, usually that pick 100 to 200 range. But that also doesn't mean we should try to get all of our saves in that range next year. But what this exercise today does show is just how risky and volatile drafting closers can be. I only gave out 12 A's and B's from the top 30 relievers who were drafted. Now, there weren't only 12 good closers, though. Some of the best values of the season were largely undrafted relievers. So let's give our respect to the waiver wire studs, the undrafted heroes who took the reins, locked in their closer roles. Here are some of the best waiver wire finds ranked by their year end and saves totals. Up first, we have Emilio Pagan from the Reds. When Alexis Diaz lost his job before the season even started, there was actually a lot of speculation about who the Reds would turn to in the ninth inning. Tony Santillan was coming off a really great 2024. The Reds supposedly internally had discussed the possibility of Graham Ashcraft emerging as a late-inning reliever. Of course, Pagan was in that discussion because of some prior experience saving games. But it did seem like maybe a committee was the more likely outcome until someone could emerge from the group. Well, Pagan emerged from that group almost immediately and ended up turning in one of the best closer seasons of 2025. 32 saves with a 2.88 ERA, a 0.92 whip, and 81 strikeouts. That's the kind of season we drafted the top tier of closers to have. So very impressive from Pagan. Next on the leaderboard at 23 saves was Will Vest of the Tigers. Vest and Tommy Canley traded save chances for much of the first half, but Vest did take primary control in the latter part of the season. He was actually a good waiver wire target several times throughout the year, as his saves seemed to come in waves at times. So Will Vest was definitely one of the better options that came up in season. Now at 22 saves, we have Daniel Palencia of the Chicago Cubs. It was apparent early in May that neither Ryan Pressly nor Porter Hodge would be the answer to the back end of the Cubs bullpen. And Daniel Palencia really stepped up into that role with aplomb, riding 100-mile-per-hour heat and improved control, had a breakout season. We had three pitchers next on the list, all tied with 16 saves. So the most valuable early in the season was Camilo Doval of the Giants at the time, their former closer who surged back and reclaimed that job from Ryan Walker in May. Doval, unfortunately, was traded to the Yankees before the deadline at the beginning of August, and he was no longer used in the ninth inning after that. But he really paid off nicely for those who were able to add him in the second month of the season. Now, the two trade deadline winners with 16 saves were Dennis Santana of Pittsburgh and Cade Smith of the Guardians. Cade Smith didn't benefit from a trade, rather the gambling probe of Emmanuel Clase, but Smith sure did thrive as the Guardians closer over these final 2 months. And Dennis Santana earned a few early saves in April while David Bednar was in AAA, but he really took off over the last 2 months as well after Bednar was sent to the Yankees. Now, Jose Ferrer of Washington earned 11 saves, most of those coming in place of Kyle Finnegan after the trade deadline. Victor Vodnik secured that closer role in Colorado late in the year. He finished with 10 saves. Shelby Miller claimed the ninth inning in Arizona after Justin Martinez and AJ Puck had both succumbed to their elbow injuries. Miller finished with 10 saves, mostly in the middle of the season. And then Sean Armstrong in Texas kind of took over for the last couple months there and ended up with 9 saves. Now, this list goes on and on. There's really so many pitchers, not just this year, but every year, that we can grab off the waiver wire at various points from beginning to end and get saves out of them. And this is just another reason that you can avoid early round closers. You can avoid that top tier of closers and still find your saves during the season. Of course, the trade-off is you're spending larger amounts of your free agency dollars, your FAB money, chasing those saves week to week. If you're not able to hit the home runs like Emilio Pagan or Daniel Palencia. Well, I mean, that's the end of our show. That puts a bow on 2025. So thank you for listening to the Bullpen Report. Thank you for listening to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson. I hope I'm back for this again in 2026. We'll see. Everyone have a great off season. Let's enjoy the playoffs. And for the last time this year, let's close it out.